satisfy you.
Welcome to Knotcast, episode 272, PAX Ventures. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Severin.
PAX Venture sounds like some terrible plague.
Yes. PAX plague is real.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And that's why Shiva's not here, because she has PAX plague.
Wait, she does? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I figured she was just working on Fiesta stuff.
Fucking flu to the con.
Oh.
And shared with her and Sero. But not me. I'm doing A-OK.
Were you just like, spray all weekend?
No, and
bad kitties, stay away from me.
Keep your hair, keep your fur to yourself. That was more of a function. So it has been a bit since you've been on a show, and it has been at least a bit. Last weekend was PAX South.
And the weekend before was Further Confusion.
So we didn't get together last week to do a show. But you did get to hear the Not Sheathed with Kyle and Fuzz at Rainforest.
Rainforest, yep.
I put that up on Monday night or Tuesday morning.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly when I did it. I think I did it Monday because I was like, I only did six videos, recorded two podcasts, and uploaded a third. You know, I was like, God, I'm such a casual.
I guess there's not actually dates on Tumblr to tell you when something was uploaded.
No.
Okay.
But it should be on the Twitter account.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's probably on the Twitter account.
So, yeah, you had FC.
Yep.
How was it?
I'm sure the con itself was lovely. My personal experience was less than ideal, and that actually has nothing to do with the convention.
So the
day before I went to FC, I had a procedure on my back where they gave me one of my injections. And when we did this last year, I rebounded super quick and I felt really good and I was able to get around pretty well. Not the case this year. Like, I just had this ache, and this ache went down into my thigh because that sciatic nerve was irritated. Ugh. So basically, I spent all of FC feeling tired or feeling antisocial, probably because I was taking all my hydrocodone for my back.
You were on all the good drugs, but they weren't being very good to you.
Yeah, so I maybe worked the table for like 2 to 4 hours. You know, I didn't. Tyrion had specifically told me not to pick anything up. I was under strict orders not to pick anything up. Even though I was like driving to Rikoshi's house to get some of our boxes, Ricky lifted them all. Tyrion had told him, don't let him pick anything up. So I didn't really do anything with setup because they were all picking shit up and moving shit around and setting up the book displays and stuff like that.
You're strong young men.
Yeah. And they are all younger than me. It was Buck, Tyrion, and Zia. But basically, the three of them worked a table most of the weekend. Tyrion was up late on Saturday night, so he asked me to open. And since I'd gone to bed at like 10, I was able to wake up and open. Props to FC, though. One of the things they changed this year that I really liked is the dealer's room opened at 11 every day instead of 10, which... Their rationale for that, which I totally agree with, was that it gives the dealers an extra hour if they want to stay up late and have fun at the con, which they should do after dealing hours. And that gives them time to wake up and have breakfast and still get in a full day. They did extend it an hour on Sunday. So instead of being 10 to 5, it was 11 to 6.
Huh.
So it was almost perfect, except I would still close at 5 on Sunday if it was up to me. Just because Sunday you're breaking everything down and packing it up and then you all go to dinner and, you know, you already have kind of a late start to your evening.
Yeah.
So that extra hour adds. But... you know, having opening being 11 a.m., it's actually really nice. So I appreciated that. I had dinner with folks, so I saw people some amount of time. I did two panels. We did a For Planet Presents panel where we had three readers. So we had Rukus reading from her new book, And we had two readers, Watts Martin and Mary Loud, both read from their short stories in The Furry Future, which was a furry sci-fi anthology that we put out.
Cool.
And then I did a quick rundown of all the other new things that we'd brought out since Midwest, since two cons very kind of close together. Took some questions, provided some A's, and that was about it. And that panel went pretty well.
Cool.
The other one was the first 15 seconds, which is you're reading a submission that you send to an editor, and most submissions at major publishers anyway get rejected within 15 seconds. They're just like, nope, 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 whatever.
That's shit. Nope.
Yeah.
That's shit.
It's a little bit different for very small presses like us because we do have a little bit more time. But she was talking about I was on a panel with Mel White, actually, who I believe you know, and Jacoby. Who does slush pile reading for some of the, for New Fables from Sofa Wolf.
Okay.
And Mel was saying that at like Tor, they get 500 submissions a day, every day, all year round, holidays included. So, and they have a team of slush pile readers and editors that have to do this very quickly. So it really is like 15 seconds and, if it's like, it's not formatted right, it's not at all
it's in Comic Sans.
What we're looking for. Yeah, like there's certain, this is why editors and stuff put certain standards for the submissions on their website. It kind of tests your ability to follow directions properly. Because if you can't follow directions properly, you're going to be a pain in the ass to deal with. And that is a real quick way that they can be like, oh, it's not in a 12-point font with 1-inch margins or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Gone. Send a form rejection. You know, and they just go through them like that.
It's have a giant red button on there. Just
yeah, it opens a trap door underneath the author, even if they're at home.
Yep,
like just magically wherever they are in their car.
It's the power of publishing.
Yep, the power of publishing. Whoosh. So I sat in on that, and that was interesting. I went to a couple of other panels. The adult writing panel is always a hoot. Not Tube and Rikoshi and Kyle. Did that, and then there was Unsheathed, which was basically the same lineup.
Yeah,
and those were fun. But that's pretty much everything I did in my con, apart from I'm going for a nap now because my back is achy and my medicine is making me sleepy. So I just had my second shot this week, so I'm hoping that they are fully in effect by the time Fiesta rolls around in like 3 weeks. So I'm hoping like make up for my lack of activity at FC with having a fun time at Fiesta.
Cool. Yep. I'm actually looking forward to Fiesta too. I've gotten two volunteers that are going to be covering afternoon and evening hour shifts for me.
Nice.
Meaning I'll actually be able to sort of attend my own convention.
Yay!
I mean, I'm still going to be there to open and close it every night, but still it's like that's a load off, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to be spending 14 hours a day in the game room.
Mm-hmm.
This time. So I went to PAX South last weekend with Shiva Suro and Sam, the other S's. So it's four S's.
Yes.
Tavern, Shiva, Siam, Suro in the room.
Try saying that too fast. Yeah.
Let's not. But I went there and basically after like the first hour or two, everyone just kind of fucked off to do their own thing. PAX South this year had 40,000 people. It was the biggest con I'd ever been to, and I had no idea really what to expect. I was a little nervous, but once I got there, the crowd management and whatnot, I just like got into the groove and really had a ton of fun.
That's good.
The con itself was run really smoothly. The security staff, the enforcers, were all very polite. I didn't have, I didn't see any negative interactions with people. I mean, obviously I'm there to have fun. I'm not being a dick. I'm sure there's some people that got, that were there to cause trouble and had a bad time, but I didn't see it. Friday I got to see a friend of mine who works at a peripheral company on the West Coast. She was out there at PAX South in a booth, doing social media for her stuff. I got to play Evolve and got a scarf for free. I went to the Galaxy Trail booth. They're the guys who developed Freedom Planet, which is that Sonic-alike that I was playing. And they were doing a contest. If you could speed run a level under a certain time, you'd get a poster. And if you got the record, you would you get both. Mm-hmm. And the artist Gashi Gashi did the art for the, and they have a very interesting style. And I blew through the chosen level in like 10 minutes, like 10 minutes even. But the guy right next to me beat me by like 15 seconds because I died at the first boss. Otherwise, I would have had the record. I was like, oh, fuck, you know. Mm-hmm. But they were like, you've played this before, haven't you? Yes, I have. I did a let's play of this.
And so is the other guy, apparently.
Probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was really cool. They did have their LGBT stuff at this con, which PAX people like kind of like, oh, what's all this have to do with video gaming? Well, actually, it kind of does. The panel I went to was called Queering Up Misconceptions, and it was basically four dudes.
Great name, by the way.
Yeah, four dudes who have been in the gaming industry for quite a while.
Were they faggots?
No, they
okay.
They were all in like their 30s and 40s. They were supposed to have
such a disconnect between those comments.
There. Well, you know, it was like, were they queenie faggots? No, they were adults.
I just meant, were they gay?
Yes, they were okay. All gay. They did have a lesbian woman who was supposed to be on, but she like screwed up her flight and wasn't able to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the dudes works at EA, one of the dudes works is like they all work in the games industry in some actual like production capacity. Mm-hmm. And they have for a long time, and basically they talked about their being gay in the games industry, which isn't really much different than being gay in like IT or comp sci stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you know, their interactions with stuff. Like one of them one of them had previously worked at Spike.
Oh.
Which is the total dude bro network.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was
the company that does the man show. And
this is so. Like, it was totally not his thing, but he was like closeted.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came out just sort of like off the cuff one day, and they're like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, oh, wait, I can be out at work. I'm like, we don't give a shit.
Cool.
So, they all had stories about that. Nobody really had any, like, oh, I was working at this dev, and they were like, fuck out, fuck it, you know, none of that.
Yeah.
They had a QA session towards the end. But that was cool. We also got to go and talk to, they had their diversity lounge, which is, you know, ostensibly where they have, you know, stuff for like gay, lesbian, disabled, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
It's where the wolves sit back in comfy chairs and foxes blow them.
Mm-hmm. Diversity Lounge.
Yes.
So HavenCon was there. That's a gaming, Texas's first LGBT gaming and Comic Con.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're trying to do like a Gamer X type thing
mm-hmm.
here in Austin mm-hmm. in April.
Mm-hmm.
And so Shiva and I were there, and we were able to just be like, hey, you guys want a table at Furry Fiesta? So mm-hmm. we offered them a table, and they're going to hopefully make it up. And they were like, they were really happy because they were kind of having a hard time finding
venues to advertise.
Venues to advertise in DFW.
Hmm.
And it's like, well, let me tell you a thing about the furries. They like their vidges and comics, and they're really gay on average.
They like their cock.
And they had like Able Gamers was there and there. They had they're a company that makes they get custom peripherals made for disabled people so they can play Vidja. Mm-hmm. And they do stuff like that. Actually picked up some of their information, and I'm gonna be doing some charity streaming for them at some point.
Oh. Neat.
Yeah, them and Extra Life. I mean, if I'm gonna be doing the streaming thing, I might as well do it for charity.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes too.
April 4th and 5th is HavenCon.
I'll be in San Francisco that week, though.
Oh, for
Babs.
BabsCon, right.
Yeah, and just going out and being on the West Coast.
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
Is it specific? It's specifically a gaming con, though,
well, they
right?
have gaming and comics and stuff. It's not just, it is not just video games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would go if I wasn't going out of town.
Right.
Essentially. And it's in Austin at that hotel where Bernie Fanfare was.
Mm-hmm.
So I know the area and the hotel. I mean, it's not going to be huge, but, you know, I wish them all the luck. And hopefully we'll have a lot of furs in the DFW, Texas area, take a chance on them and go out that way.
Yeah, totally. It's
not that expensive. I went to a couple other panels that were not that great. There was a group called Mindcrackers, which is basically the YouTube Let's Players group. And basically they just bantered back and forth, and you kind of had to know who they were to give a damn.
There were a what now? A YouTube Let's Play group.
So there was like eight or nine people, and they all have their own channels, but they work under the single banner. It's like a production group.
Okay.
Like a writer's circle, I guess, would be a good analogy for you.
Okay.
And it was still interesting to talk about how they like started up and did that. Because it was off like they all started doing Minecraft stuff, and then they had diversified. I did get to meet Dan Reichert and Jeff Gerstmann from Giant Bomb. That was cool.
Oh, cool.
I really like Dan Reichert on the Giant Bomb cast. So I was like, dude, can I get a selfie with you? And he's like, yeah.
So nice.
He was a really enthusiastic guy. And that was pretty much it. One of the nice things they had was their handheld lounge, which by lounge, I mean a giant corner on the second floor full of big-ass zebra stripe pillows where you could sit down with your 3DS, or if you were a Vita peasant, have that too.
Yeah, what was the ratio? You gave me a ratio.
It was like 95% 3DSs.
Yeah.
The PS Vita is not that. It doesn't have the social stuff like the 3DS does.
Uh-huh. Did they come out at the same time?
The Vita came out after the 3DS, I think. Mm. But
they've both been out for
a while.
A long time, I think.
In fact, Nintendo's bringing out a newer iteration of the 3DS hardware.
Oh, okay.
In like February, which they're like, are you going to get it? One of my friends asked me, he was like, no, I just bought the 3DS that I have like middle of last year. I'm not going to get a new one next.
It's not old and busted yet.
Well, like it's a new hardware iteration. It has a faster processor and more RAM and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
It still plays all the games, but there's going to be stuff that comes out after that, after the release, that is going to be specific to the new model.
Yeah. Stuff that takes more performance to run.
It's still not quite up to like a Wii, but
it's portable.
It's portable.
Yeah.
But that was really cool. So I got lots and lots of street passes and puzzle pieces and whatnot. Anybody that has a 3DS will know what I'm talking about. I ended up going from like 500 street passes to about 1,100 by the end of the weekend.
Yeah, I think you posted a picture at some point of a room, and you're like getting all the street passes.
Yeah, it was just this big area where people could chill out, sit on a pillow. There was power plugs around. If you wanted
they know what nerds need.
You could hand over your DS they'd hold onto it and charge it for you. I wouldn't do that. I had my own charger with me. But they had that they had that bit of quality of life.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's actually something I'd like to do for Fiesta. Have a I picked up a new one of the Belkin surge protectors, seven ports, and have like a couple like DS charger, 3DS charger, USB things, so people can plug in their various things. I mean, it's more of a quality of life thing there because it's in a convention center, not near a hotel.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're at Fiesta, you can go back to your room and charge your shit, but it's still a nice quality of life thing. And that was like the end of the day. And then Saturday I went and saw the Alamo.
Cool.
Which is cool. I mean, the hotel we were at is like a quarter mile from the Alamo. So it was like a quarter
mile. That's great to the Alamo. That you not only went, that you remember going.
Yes. Alamo status remembered.
Yes.
and so that was kind of cool. Just, Texas doesn't have a lot of stuff that has weight of history behind it, but that does.
We have a lot of desert.
Yeah. a lot of flat rocky, dirty.
Yeah. Dirt.
But, so that was cool. Walked the Alamo stuff, or walked the Riverwalk some too.
We have that one spot in downtown Dallas where something happened.
Yeah. Some dude got shot.
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
It's weird.
Basically I played a bunch of demos in the expo space. There was lots of indie titles. A lot of stuff wasn't even fucking ready for prime time, but they still had a booth there. It's like, this is my idea that I've got running in Unity at like 10 frames per second and no music, and it doesn't really run well, but I've got this game idea. It's going to be on Kickstarter, you know. Then there was some other stuff.
You're like ugh, fucking people with a dream.
Well, no.
Fuck them. I know what you're saying. But I mean, at the same time, if you had like 1/30th of a game done and this massive fucking event came to your town.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you'd be an idiot not to go and at least get your name out there.
I played a game called Social Justice Warriors.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're telling me about
really
that.
Which was really interesting. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those titles that I was immediately prejudiced against by the title alone. I'm like, what is this? Are you going to be running around with a giant axe of privilege checking and hacking up shitlords?
Mm-hmm.
No. Basically, it puts you as the role of the titular social justice warrior. And there's, you know, you fighting against trolls with logic. Or you can stoop to their level and use personal attacks. Or you can block them and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a game because there is a failure state, so it does count. And basically, the point of the game is you as the warrior and you and your opponents, the troll, you look exactly the same. You're just people on the internet
mm-hmm.
fighting through computer screen. And yeah, the people on the trolls do say some shitty things,
mm-hmm.
but the point of it is to, you know, because eventually you're going to lose. It doesn't matter. You know, so you'll take out 4 trolls, maybe you'll take out 8, but you're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Your sanity runs out and you rage quit, your reputation is destroyed, mm-hmm. or you just give up and quit the game.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the guy made the game as to try to express to people or get the idea into people's heads that how they interact online, they should probably be better at it, you know, be more respectful. Don't stoop down. Don't escalate things. Because really, the only winning move is not to play
right.
with that kind of stuff. You know,
arguing on the internet is dumb. Basically, yeah.
it's like the Special Olympics. No matter who wins, you're all still retarded. That's an old line.
Yeah, I've seen that before. Complete with the image of the kid.
Yeah. I played a game called Retro Blaze, or saw a game called Retro Blaze, which is like Quake, but with furry art.
Mm-hmm.
It's a first-person shooter that's really kind of fast-paced, but like the demo's not that good.
You have to shoot furries?
You shoot robots that look like furries, and the character is a furry, like Wolf Dude.
Retro what, Blaze?
Retro Blaze. It's like retroblaze.com. They had a demo disc, and they actually gave me a physical demo disc that had like the music on it as well, but I was not that impressed. It's basically Quake with a furry.
Well, apparently there's DJ Retro Blaze, and he's like the entire first page of results on Google.
Really?
Yes.
But they just launched their Kickstarter, and it was they won $110,000 for what looks like Quake, and I don't think.
Yeah, it looks like it is RetroBlaze.com.
Okay. Kickstarter.com. Actually, I should look that up on Google. But Kickstarter, I can type with my left hand.
Kickstarter. Yeah, the only link. RetroBlaze.com says it can't be found, but it's on Facebook as a vintage video game store in New Jersey.
Retro Blazer.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, Blazer. Kickstarter. That's a hell of a typo. But one thing that was really cool, they do their Omegathon each year, which is like they call it their Olympics of gaming.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's ever played the Katamari Damacy games,
it's
a fun game by yourself, but it's even more fun in a crowd of cheering people going, you know, you should totally do that. Yeah, you'll go for the burgers. Woo! Bowling! You know, because you're basically picking all these random-ass objects in the world. And that's actually a series that I would totally do a Let's Play of with friends watching and providing commentary once I get my capture card.
Well, that's kind of fail. I hit the gallery link on their website and it gets a 404.
Oh. Well, I'm looking at their Retro Blazer Running Gun Action FPS thing on Kickstarter, and they have 101 backers. $2,539 of $110,000 with 24 days to go.
It might get a massive end of the line kick like a lot of stuff does. But yeah. Oh, hey, yeah, those furries.
It's pretty furry.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, the demo's out there, but the demo's also pretty old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the stuff they talk about in the Kickstarter is not actually in the demo yet. And the compile date on the demo is June 2011.
So was it supposed to be a furry game? Is it made by furries? I have
no idea. I mean, the character art's very furry.
Yeah.
Like the protagonist and the girl, and then like all the robots are like...
There's like a robot Anubis almost.
Yeah, and there's like robot bird dudes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you scroll down far enough, there's like robot Doberman looking robot jackals.
Mm-hmm.
Robot birds. Robot robots. Robot mummies, because that's how that works.
Oh, yeah, there's a needy tail hole tier. That's got to be... No, I'm kidding. That's got to be furry.
I did something...
Oh, speaking of is it furry or not. So recently I was linked to a story with a really interesting title. It was on Amazon. It was Argus, the Werewolf Spanker. And... like, it was success. It was suggested, hey, Fuzz might like this, and maybe you should try to sell it or something. I was like, okay, let me check it out. I was like, all right. It's kind of hot. Does what it says on the tin. Guy spanks werewolves to subdue them. Gets them off to turn them back into human form. Which is kind of hot. So it's got TF, male-male, werewolf sex, spanking. And... there was a question of, is this guy furry or is it just like, you know, furry adjacent or something? And I was like, well, he uses the word tail hole in his story. So I think he's a furry. And Zias found his Twitter and he's like, yeah, he follows all these furry artists and other people that I know. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So
total furry.
Anyway, I contacted the guy and long story short, now I'm selling Argus the Werewolf Spanker on Bad Dog Books.
Woohoo.
So... you know, and I have it in the EPUB as well as in the Kindle format because he only had it in Kindle before. So go to Bad Dog Books. Our latest book is Argus the Werewolf Spanker.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to sell a book that just had like a ridiculously over the top title like that. You know, like you know what you're getting.
Yeah. But beyond that, I mean, it was a hell of a lot of fun. Everybody was there to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to totally go back. They're coming again next year.
Oh.
And hopefully they didn't have a ton of the really big devs there. I mean, they still had, Gigantic. They had Intel had a big booth. The guys that did, Dreadnought and Grey Goo were there. They had Riot Games who do League of Legends.
Okay.
They had Devolver Digital who does a bunch of indie publishing. They did have big vendors, but they didn't have like big elaborate booths, all of them.
Mm.
So, you know, I hope that next year they'll see that, you know, Texas is a viable market for a PAX event.
Well, it makes sense. They've got, you know, to Seattle and then there's one on the East Coast,
Boston.
So they've got East, West, and we'd be the central U.S.
Yeah. And
it's also why I think Fiesta is doing so well, because we hit that central U.S. market. Yeah.
And they sold out all 3 days. They capped out at 40K.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that this encouraged them to expand next year.
Mm-hmm.
There's a hell of a lot of space in that convention center they're not using yet.
Oh, so it can get bigger than that.
Oh, though. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So I'm hoping that it was a big enough success for them to really throw their support behind it, because I had a lot of fun. And
mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you are a gamer and you like that kind of stuff, try to go. It's not that expensive. It's like $65 for the 3-day pass.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the rooms ain't that expensive. It'd be like going to a furry con, but there ain't no furries. Except actually I actually saw several fursuiters. Because, of course, there's going to be fursuiters.
Yeah. I think I saw somebody tweeting from... Wait, no. I saw it was a local artist actually was talking about how they'd been at PAX South 5 minutes and they'd seen a fursuiter. And apparently, MAGFest was the same weekend, and there were a bunch of people posting pictures of fursuits and stuff. What is MAGFest? Is gaming?
Is that MAGFest is like gaming and music related to gaming, like chiptune, electronica.
Mm-hmm.
They do have a bunch of gaming stuff, but it's primarily music based, I think.
Okay.
So yeah, I had a hell of a time, and it was fun.
Yeah, I don't know much about MAGFest.
I came home and felt very energized to create content and do stuff.
That's good. Yeah, it's kind of like how I feel when I'm coming home from a furry convention. It's like, you know, you feel very like really energized creatively, and you want to do shit, you know. And I'm like, woo, books, or stuff like that.
Yeah, books. So we should probably hit our emails up at this point.
Yep.
Unless you really have anything else.
Looking forward to Fiesta. Come and shop at Fur Planet. Woo! That's about it. Okay. So, I'm going to read the anonymous Tumblr. Okay.
All right.
Saffron. Very good job on the solo show. You can totally do without those other two assholes. Okay, it doesn't say that. Just compared to the previous short solo show you did, there was a definite noticeable difference. Your presentation, the way you spoke, your preparedness, your general tone were excellent. Your cocktail is so good in my mouth. I appreciate you doing a solo show when the other cast members were unavailable, rather than skip it entirely, especially when you have clearly developed a great deal. Yeah, his balls dropped and everything. Good job, smiley face.
Well, thank you, first of all. I have been trying to get into a habit of being more prepared when it comes to doing solo content. Like, if I'm doing solo content that is not, like, gaming related, I'll script it. When it came down to doing the solo show, like, I edited it, and I made sure, like, I could stop what I was doing, go back and restate something.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I made sure that I got across exactly what I wanted to get across.
Yeah, this is all scripted, by the way.
Yes, totally.
Not cast in animated live in front of a studio audience.
Oh, God. There actually are people that do, like, podcast animations. It's like wacky characters doing the stuff.
Ah! Woo! No. We should do, if, like, Face Rig develops to that point, we should just do a video show of Face Rig reading the emails.
Sure, why not?
You're like, I am a talking hamburger this week.
I'm a finnick. Oh, no. So, cool. Thank you. I'm trying to develop my solo banter.
Just pretend I'm not here.
Yep. So, here is a follow-up from last week.
Okay.
The solo show. Hello again, Notcasters. Thanks a lot to the solo Phoenix Savern for the advice, and I'm happy to say that it proved very useful as I've gotten back in contact with my friend again. I owned up to being a pushy asshole at the wrong time, and he forgave me, and we're on far better terms now. Good. The main issue of our differences in approaching this difficult situation wasn't from him being as blatantly ill-adjusted as I had thought. It just stemmed from the fact that we approach difficult issues in different ways. I'm generally a headstrong and fiercely independent person who usually withdraws to assess the situation alone, and I've learned enough about how I work through things to know that I think most clearly about problems in my life when I'm either alone or being worked through them by someone who isn't involved in them. My friend, on the other hand, is someone who needs more involvement and reassurance from others when facing hard times, and he was just looking for support when I blew things out of proportion and overanalyzed things. I still assert that his looking online to hop back into another relationship was a bad idea, and I'm going to stick by that as my stubborn perspective. That being said, I resolve to just let people do what they do if my advice doesn't get taken well, and in the future I'll try to be more considerate of people's feelings. As two extra notes, I'd like to firstly respond to the gazelle he wrote in last week about not knowing a lot of people in the fandom who are interested in a lot of advanced scientific pursuits, and I wanted to just give a shout-out to him that I know how he feels as a furry who also happens to be trying to get into molecular and microbiology. I don't mean to come off as holier-than-thou, but I have felt that across a decent percentage of furries, there is a relatively high lack of ambition. This goes with most walks of life, however, as the specialists among us are by nature limited in number. I'm from and currently living in Los Angeles, and while I don't know a great deal about a lot of career paths in biology locally, I do have a lot of lab experience and know some good institutions and companies to look at in my state. You can find me on my FA profile, which is shoji_tiger, shoji_tiger. On a final note, I'm directing a question to your resident Wolf regarding writing and publication. I'm currently in the process of writing a work of furry historical fiction, which I have only completed about 4,000 words of. I'm working small chunks of it on a daily basis and have gotten a lot of positive comments from friends that I've shown it to. I know her planet must be overloaded, but should I send a sample to see whether it would be worth trying to make a novella or novel out of? And B, are there any special formatting considerations or file formats other than standard files on Microsoft Word to be mindful of? I'd love to see if things might work out for my writing, and I'll continue to love this podcast and all the things you guys do. Thanks so much, Shoji Tiger.
Okay, so A, we pretty much don't look at samples. But if you're going to send something in, send the whole thing so that we can kind of properly evaluate it. You know, as far as whether it's worth making a novel or novella, I mean, I would just write, you know, just get the story out there, you know, and then go through the beta editing and editing of it, or the beta reading and editing of it and stuff like that. And, you know, if it's worth you spending the time on, you know, if it's in your head and everything, just go ahead and write it and see what happens. You know, and then people can suggest changes or things like that. We don't hold to a lot of really specific formatting. Don't do any crazy formatting. Keep it fairly standard. Mostly all the Microsoft Word basic formats. So RTF, DOC, or DOCX are going to work out just fine. You know, no underlining, no bolding. You know, and just do, you know, just pretty standard. Use just a regular old font. I mean, most of that stuff we're going to change when we do the typesetting on it anyway, if we proceed to publication. So there's no real point in the authors doing a lot of special formatting when it comes to submitting to us, because we're going to end up doing our own typesetting on it anyway, unless it's like a really specific thing that we need to discuss. So I wouldn't really worry about that. Just worry about, you know, getting the story on paper, so to speak.
Get it out of your head and onto the sheet.
Yep. Writer on the streets, editor in the sheets. I don't know what that means. Okay. 3rd email. Subject is managing risk. Greetings again, Notcasters. I'm writing in for two reasons. One for myself and another for a bit of commentary on an email you guys received last week. First, my question. My boyfriend and I are in an open relationship. We see each other reasonably often, 1 to 2 times per month due to our complicated work-school schedules, and we're quite happy together. We both have always used protection, except for one of his monogamous relationships in the past, and both recently tested negative for all STDs. We're going to try foregoing the condom, which I've never done before, so I'm both nervous and excited, or nervous-sided. Since we both have other partners, though, how do we manage when we do and do not use protection? I'm hesitant to throw them away entirely between us because it would be very possible to catch something from one of our other partners, despite a condom, and then pass it on to each other before it's detected. Do we establish a safer window immediately after testing and use it as a sort of reward for regular testing? Forego condoms entirely with the two of us, or what? Your advice is greatly appreciated. So, let's go ahead and hit that first before we continue on. My advice and what Tieran and I decided to do was that we are always safe as long as we're not monogamous. So, for the amount of as long as we are in an open relationship, we're always going to use protection just for maximum safeness. Even if one of us is wearing condom and something gets in or the condom breaks or something, if we're still using condoms between each other, then we're still limiting the risk of exposing the other person to it. So that's what I'm doing. I know that's probably the most extreme on the terms of staying safe, and there's probably other arrangements that work for other people, but that's my advice.
In my case, because my relationship with Panther is monogamous. We don't use condoms, but neither one of us has had, you know, sex with really anyone else for like a decade. So, that's not quite true. But, you know, any outside behavior was always done with condoms.
Mm-hmm.
So
condoms with everybody else, but no condoms with your partner.
That's just how we do it. But
yeah, like I said, there's different ways to do it. So it's where your comfort level in safety is.
Yeah. And so,
I would definitely not recommend mixing it up or becoming confused about when to use and when to not, because then you basically lose the benefit of
the doubt
of either way. Yeah. You know,
just personally, I'd 100% with anyone else.
Yeah.
And, you know, with one's partner, you know, sometimes condoms are just better because, you know, UTIs suck.
Yeah. And also, like, even if you're like you said, you reward yourself for a negative test or something like that, you still got stuff that lurks for a few weeks or a few months before it actually shows up. So that wouldn't be necessarily 100% either. So, you know, I would pick one, basically. Either condoms all the time or condoms all the time with the outside people and not with your partner. But both should be fairly safe. Okay, so the second one. Second, in response to Erez the Gazelle, I'm a fellow nerd, though not as accomplished as he is, so I have an idea of how hard it is to find people who understand your interests. I myself have more of a statistical and quality control background, and I can just see people's eyes glaze over when I utter the word standard deviation. I find that the only way to really manage it is compartmentalization. I have my nerd friends, my LGBT friends, my furry friends, etc., etc., for each of my various interests. That doesn't mean I have a huge herd of friends, but I have at least one person in each group that I can talk to, with some people fitting more than one category. Nobody is going to be your carbon copy, but most people have something you can relate to. Keep stuffing those foxes, Branth the Dragon.
Yep. And, I mean, compartmentalization is something all people have to do, really. I'm in a weird situation right now because I'm doing... My online identity is... by design, somewhat fractured.
Mm-hmm.
But like resurrecting my YouTube channel is like, it's officially the channel name is just a fox, JustaFox.
Mm-hmm.
The display name is Saverin Drake, which is my furry Twitter handle and also my Tumblr handle. But my primary Twitter account is my pony one. It has like 2,700 followers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's really difficult because you can't like just tell Twitter merge these accounts. So it's like, you know, compartmentalization sometimes, you know, kind of backfire on you a little.
Mm. Why didn't you just create a new YouTube account under the pony Twitter handle instead of starting uploading videos to the Saverin Drake YouTube?
Because that's the name I've used since I was 16.
Okay. You didn't want to start that? Because, I mean, if you've got more followers under the pony
name. But, I mean, you've seen what I did, you know, converted. I have a real RL picture now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
RL first name. And it's just like, that's the account that I'm using at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, 2,700 followers, you don't just... drop that and start from scratch if you can help it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, totally.
So, I mean, compartmentalization is both useful and can be a pain in the butt sometimes.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That is really neither here nor there related to the email, though.
Right. Well, it's just more general online advice. So, I think that we're done. I mean, we still got that other email in there, but it was one you read, and two of our emails touched on it already. So
yeah, well, it's good to get follow-ups and other people's opinions because, I mean, yeah, that was a what-do-you-think type email, and people wrote in to tell us what they think, which is handy.
Yep.
So okay, cool. Fiesta in a month, dude.
Yeah.
Actually, less than a month. But it's the February 2023rd, right?
All the screaming. Yeah.
And it's the 29th. So, yeah, 3 weeks away.
Let's see. Yeah, today's the 29th. Yep, so that's the 5th, the 12th, the 19th is the Thursday before Fiesta. So, yep. Yeah.
3 weeks to go.
So, yeah, I guess we can do a con. We can do a con, but we can do a show next week. That'll be February 5th. And I don't have anything conflicting with February 12th either. So
cool. We should be able to do that. And hopefully Shiva will survive her plague.
Yeah.
Can join us at some point. At Free Fiesta, we're not doing a show. But we, you know, there will probably be room parties and whatnot that we'll attend. And
yeah, I've got a suite that's one of the bi-level ones that has all the general hangout area on the bottom. And the upper floor is the bedroom. Neat. So that should be kind of cool. That should cut down on the furniture in the main area to allow for more hanging out and stuff. And I just got a really cute poster image from Ida's of Fez and Rory partying down. It's a Fur Planet room party, we're going to hang the Fur Planet room party poster up on the wall in there. So figure, I should go ahead and promote the business since that's why we're having room parties. I'm not sure all what we're doing for each night. I mean, my birthday is the following Wednesday, so usually one of them we kind of claim as a birthday party.
Yeah.
We'll figure out the order and everything, but pretty much we're going to check in Friday and check out Monday. So pretty much every night at a con, we'll have some sort of social gathering in our suite. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
so let's go ahead and throw out our contact info then.
Yep. You can follow me on Twitter at Saverin Drake. You can follow me on YouTube at user. You can search for Saverin Drake, or you can search, go to the channel Just a Fox. Follow me on Twitch at Saverin. The user just like twitch.tv/Saverin.
Right.
My channel. One of the nice things, nobody really uses that name but me, so I'm able to get that user ID without any like extra bullshit around it.
Cool.
And follow me on YouTube. Like, subscribe. Look at my video game of content. Make me e-famous.
You can follow me on Twitter and Tumblr and LiveJournal and Fur Affinity at Fuzzwolf on all of those. I'm trying to think of anything else. Mostly I'm pretty active on Twitter these days. I don't use the others very much. Although I did just post a very nice picture of my character with his cock out on Fur Affinity.
No googly eyes.
So you should go and check that out. You know, my businesses are Fur Planet on Twitter and Bad Dog Books on Twitter. Or FurPlanet.com, BadDogBooks.com for ebooks. And that's the basics. We'll have tables at Furry Fiesta. We'll be selling all the books and art collections and comics and such that we do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess we've got next week is the 5th, and that's just kind of a nothing date. But the week after that's February 12th, so it's 2 days before Valentine's Day. Ooh. So maybe we should do some show Valentine topic for adventures. Valentine, yeah. Do we need to do an Adam and Eve thing?
Do you? I even have a copy.
Oh, excellent. Okay, well, good. Take it away.
So, yes, this is our official Adam and Eve ad. You should buy some dongs. You can make this Valentine's Day one you'll both never forget with this amazing offer from AdamandEve.com. Through Valentine's Day, you can get 50% off just about any item. Just go to AdamandEve.com and you'll find over 18,000 adult entertainment products, including toys, lingerie, and a seemingly endless selection of adult DVDs. And there's more. With every order, you'll receive our romance kit free. Our romance kit includes a toy for him, a special massager for her, and a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, a free adult DVD to put you in the mood.
Oh, yeah.
Askers, as long as you're straight. And that's not all. Oh, no! We'll also throw in free shipping on your entire order. So check out AdamandEve.com today with a special Valentine's offer. Get 50% off one item, free romance kit, and free shipping when you use the coupon code KNOT, K-N-O-T. That's not at AdamandEve.com. So basically, they went and took us back to her old ad deal.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Until after Valentine's Day.
Oh, all right.
So it's a temporary deal. But
buy dongs now. So on that note, good night
and big balls.